Good morning, dearly beloved. All right, here we go. Today is Monday, the 20-something-ish, and I am in the work Prius again. We got the work Prius back. I know it's been so long since we actually did a podcast, and I apologize for that. But right now we are headed to Haymarket. I have an hour and 3 minute drive, so I thought, what perfect way to spend this time talking to you. Although there are 3 new episodes of 3 different podcasts that just came out this morning, since it is Monday, that I would definitely much rather be listening to than creating my own content, because the people that created those episodes are way better content creators than I am. There are a few things that we can discuss today. Let me turn this blinker off because I'm sure that's annoying. Hopefully the Prius is a little bit more quiet than the Civic is with those bad wheel bearings that I still haven't changed. Fun fact. Yesterday was a good day for working on the Jeep. The Saturday I got the lower links out. The rear links, the uppers and the lowers, are very, very rusted. So I wanted to clean them up a little bit. They needed some anti-seize in the rod ends. So on Saturday, I took out both of the lowers, stripped them down with a wire wheel, painted them, got them back in on Sunday. Sunday, I took out the uppers and did the same thing with those. Those are still hanging on my deck, drying, which is good. You know, in between paychecks, I like to try and stay busy. And doing little stuff like that is one of those. I had somebody ask me, well, what did you do today to make it run? I'm like, well, the rest of the things that I need to make it run require money. And, you know, I don't get paid until next week, baby. So that's gonna have to wait a little bit. But there's still a ton of other stuff that I can do while I'm waiting for that. Like busting rust and painting stuff. As long as I'm working on that thing at least once a week, I'll be happy. Even if it's little stuff that may not be in the vein of getting it running or really even be necessary. As long as I have my hands on it, as long as I'm in the garage doing something, then I'll be happy with that. I think the last podcast where I gave a Jeep update, I was talking about getting the fuel lines run, and it started by the end of August. I have 7 days to make that happen, and I'm pretty sure I can make it happen. We'll see. I need to get a new battery. I need to get a new serpentine belt. I need to blow out the fuel lines because I'm pretty sure there's some crud in there. And I am 100% positive that at least 3 of the fittings or the unions in the fuel line are gonna leak. At least, I'm very, very positive of it. But I'm gonna hold out hope. Maybe I'll have a stroke of good luck and they'll all be seated perfectly fine. Oh, fun fact on that. So normally what I've done in the past when I'm doing stainless steel braided line is just tape it up real tight, use a cutoff wheel, cut it, it works no problem. I've had no problems in the past. However, I think that I bought really shitty line because no matter how tight I taped it, the ends would fray. So I really didn't want to buy, like measure and buy pre-cut, pre-put together lines, because that just was not in the budget. So I actually found a pair of like snippers, like gardening shears that are made for cutting braided stainless steel. And those things worked perfectly. I read a lot of reviews saying that, you know, after 10 cuts, it got chinked up and now it won't work anymore. But I've used that thing for, I don't know, maybe 20 cuts so far, and it's still absolutely like butter. I still do tape it. I just tape it a little bit because it's still shitty line, like I said. I don't know if the adhesive's not holding it or whatever. But it's been working for me. I'm getting straight cuts. I'm able to get the fittings on. I'm really enjoying it. So I will put the link to where I bought that in the show notes if you are interested in that. Aside from getting the lines run, I still think I'm gonna have to tweak where the lines are run, and I may have to even buy another roll of line and start over, because I'm not 100% happy with the way it is right now. But in the interest of getting it started and making some sort of fucking progress, that's gonna have to do for right now. But it's all from fuel rail to fuel cell. It is all put together. And I did find out that you can tighten AN fittings too tight. And I actually ended up snapping one off, which has never happened. I've never even seen it happen. But I'm me, so I don't know what I actually expected to happen. I just tightened it too much and boop, snapped right off. I got majority of the wiring put into loom and wrapped up and put away, separated the stuff that I need, the stuff that I don't need. I do need to find a good wiring diagram to find out where some of the ignition hot wires are and that sort of stuff. The fuel pump is in, the relay is in, the circuit breaker is in. Now I just have to wire it to the battery and to the ignition hot. I don't know if I want to do it to ignition hot, because I don't know how long I'm going to keep the actual key ignition. I have a feeling that might go away eventually. So I may just wire the fuel pump to a switch. I don't know. I don't really know what the pros and cons to that would be. I guess just another thing to forget and then spend 20 minutes trying to figure out why it won't start, or maybe as an added theft deterrent, just one more switch they would have to find and figure out to turn it on. I was thinking about getting one of the 12 volt guy switch blocks or switch panels so I can also run the winch off of it. I think that'd be between $200 and $300. I don't know if I should do that or just go to the hardware store and buy some of those switches and do it super ghetto, super cheap. I think those switches are like $4 or something. And I already have plenty of wire. I don't know. These are things that I think about while I'm driving to Haymarket at 8 a.m. 8 a.m. on the dot, actually. Driving to Haymarket to do a 3,000 square foot house, photos and 3D tour. That should take me minimum 2 hours by myself. That size house is usually something that we would send two people for, but apparently they're just sending me. I've also come to realize that the two front tires on the YJ go flat in less than 24 hours, more like 10 or 12 hours. So I'm probably gonna have to unseat those, put some goop in there and reseat them. I don't know if it's an issue with the bead, the way it's sitting, or if they're just so fucking dry rotted that they're leaking. I think it's the former. We shall see. I need to air them up and spray them down with soapy water and find out where it actually is. I know on some of them the bead was pretty chewed up, but I don't know. I don't know if I'll even get one full run, one full shakedown run out of those tires. They are pretty dry rotted. I have to find the date code on them and see how old they are. But I'm definitely gonna run them. I'm just definitely bringing a spare with me, because I have a feeling one of those is just gonna bust wide the fuck open. Oh, good things that have happened that I don't think I told you guys about. You may have seen, I made a post about it on social a while ago, but Jarrett Crawford, who is, I don't know his exact title, but he works with sponsorships. Maybe he's a sponsorship director or manager or something. I don't know what the title is. Anyway, he handles the sponsorships. He approves requests. He signs people up. They do the contracts and whatever. But anyway, he sent me a tracking number. This was a couple weeks ago. And I was like, what the fuck is that? He's like, don't worry about it. It'll be there in a few days. I checked the tracking number. Sure enough, it said it'll be there in a couple days. It's like, sweet. He's sending me like a shirt or a hat. He worked for Baja Designs. I feel like I didn't say that. But Jarrett Crawford works for Baja Designs now as their sponsorship guru guy. So he sends me this tracking number. I'm like, sweet, I'm getting some shirts, maybe a hat. I'm at work and my wife texted me. Trap Queen says, "Hey, you got a box." It's like, "I know I got a box." She's like, "It's pretty big." And I was like, "Whoa." And I was like, "How heavy is it?" She's like, "It's got some weight to it." And I was thinking, man, he probably sent me like 5 or 6 shirts. That's dope. And she said, "Nah, I don't think it's shirts. Unless it's like 700 shirts, this shit's heavy." And I started getting all tingly. It's like, "Oh, buddy." Now, I'm not a real big like light snob, or I couldn't even tell you the first thing about electricity, other than if you do it wrong, it'll fuck you up. So I've never really been big on lights and having to buy the best lights and what's the lumen count and how far the throw is or the pattern or any of that shit. So I don't know anything about this. So I'm getting excited. This is a first for me. This is a big thing for me. So I get home, open up the box. I have 2 giant ones. There are the LP6s, LN6s. I'm pretty sure it's LP6. They're like the big headlight ones. See, that's how little I know about LEDs and headlights and any electrical stuff whatsoever. Pretty sure it's LP6. And then I got 2 smaller Squadron Pros. I think those are meant to be used as like backup lights or auxiliary A-pillar lights. But regardless, I got those. So now we're at 4 lights. And these are not cheap lights, folks. After I unboxed everything, I just had to go to the website and see what these things retail for. And I just about shit myself. Because there is no way in hell I would be able to afford any of that stuff. Any of it. Oh, and they also sent me a set of the rock lights. I think they're amber rock lights. So fucking cool. Like, just completely unexpected. Not part of a sponsorship. There was no, I didn't sign anything. There was no, do a video for us and we'll send you these lights. Which I don't do. I'm not a fan of that. He just sent me lights. And I was like, dude, what the fuck, why? And he gave me like some roundabout answer. I never got a straight answer from him as to why. But it was just humbling. I'm so grateful. Jarrett, thank you so much. It was, for me, it was more than just getting some lights that I can add to the build. It was more, the way that I took it was that somebody was like patting me on the back or giving me a cosign for what I'm trying to do, like documenting this build. And it just, I don't know, it made me feel really, really fucking good. So Jarrett, thank you, man. I appreciate it. The lights are super dope. Your friendship is more doper, and I love you, buddy. And I'm mad that I can't see you more often because you're off doing work things and going on fun trips and all that shit. I'm very proud of you, Mr. Crawford. What you've been doing in your work life, how you've been doing in your personal life. I'm really proud of you, man. Keep doing awesome shit. I love you, buddy. And in that vein of unexpected surprises, there's something else. I put a post a while ago asking what kind of small welder should I pick up, or if there were any suggestions. Excuse me, I got the burps. And that post opened up the floodgates. Everybody was giving me their opinion and what I should do. And it's all well and good. I did open myself up for that feedback, which was nice. I got some good leads on a couple things. But the post died and I kind of forgot about it because I have a million other things I need to do before investing in a welder. And the whole reason I wanted to get a welder is because there are a couple small tabs and other little things that I want to do with the YJ that require a welder. Like there's a little bracket that I made to hold the fuel lines where it hits the frame rail. And instead of having, you know, Lamb Chop bring his welding truck from an hour and a half away to glue on one piece of small metal, I was like, well, I mean, I basically know more or less the beginning steps of welding. Like, if you hand me a hood and a machine and some metal, I can fiddle with it to make it glue things. It won't be the best penetration or the best welds or the best whatever, but I can make two pieces of metal stick together in the most rudimentary sense of the word. And I feel like that's fine for making brackets, like little brackets like that. No, nothing that holds suspension, not welding fucking quarter inch plate together or fucking ridiculous shit like that. Not welding on any axle trusses or doing any Lincoln lockers or anything. Just little tabs here and there, like I gotta make tabs for the lights. Got to make a couple tabs for brake lines, fuel lines, all that sort of little shit, you know, that I really don't need Lamb Chop to do for me. So anyway, I'm making this story way longer than it actually needs to be. So that post died. I forgot about it. My buddy Foster texted me one day. He's like, hey, man, are you at home? I got something for you. I'm going to swing it by. I was like, yeah, dude, I'm here. So he comes by. Opens up the back of his truck, and there is a Lincoln 3200 HD sitting on his tailgate. And I was like, oh, sweet, dude, what the fuck is that? He's like, it's for you. I said, what? You know I don't have any money, dude. He's like, no, 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 it's a gift. And he explained to me how he was in a position to accept a new job with a new salary, and he upgraded from that machine to a newer one. And he wanted to bestow upon me that gift. And I was like, geez, dude, I don't even know what to say right now. The kindness and generosity of people, I feel like in general, fucking blows my mind. Yes, there are assholes and people that suck. And for some reason, I feel like those people get the spotlight more than the shitty people. And I'm guilty of giving them the spotlight too. Like, I've done podcasts where I just talk about shitty people and I rip on shitty people and the shitty things that shitty people do. But I need to do a better job of highlighting the good people out there, the good souls that do kind things to people for no other reason than to just be kind. And this is not the first time that Foster has done this for me. It's not the first time that Foster has done this for anyone. He's one of those people that you hear the stories about, he would give you the shirt off his back. And that is 100% true. He would absolutely do that. So Foster, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. And this goes back to what I said about with Jarrett, with the lights. It's more than just a thing. It's more than something physical that I have in my possession. It's the emotional, how do I say this? It's the emotional intention behind the act that means the most to me. So from my point of view, Foster is giving me this piece of equipment knowing that I'm gonna put it to good use, knowing that it's gonna help further me in what I'm doing, what I'm chasing, which at this point, I really don't even know what it is anymore. But I'm just gonna keep doing, keep making videos, keep taking photos, keep making videos, and maybe I'll figure it out. But like I said with Jared, it was kind of like a cosign, a pat on the back, like, good job, keep doing what you're doing. And I really appreciate that. And it gave me hard feels. So thank you, Foster. I'm gonna make you proud. My welds probably won't make you proud, but I'm gonna give it my damnedest. Which brings us to the next surprise. It's ridiculous. So last week I had a pretty shitty week. Actually, the past 2 weeks, I haven't been getting anything on my checklist done. I've put on a significant amount of weight. I'm back up to 243, which is disgusting and unacceptable for me. I've been eating ice cream and drinking a lot and just letting myself go again. and I'm fat and disgusting and I feel like shit and everything hurts. But when I sit and think about just those 2 weeks, I'm like, man, this everything sucks. But when I do stuff like this and I sit here in the car and I talk to myself like a fucking crazy person, I realize that those 2 weeks may not have been the greatest, but there were good things that happened during those 2 weeks. So I didn't get all of my business or personal goals done, but there is a bright spot, and those bright spots are amazing people like Jarrett and Foster and Lamb Chop. But Lamb Chop hit me up. Uh-oh, state trooper, somebody's getting pulled over. Nerds. So Lamb Chop, I sent him a picture of the welder after Foster dropped it off, and I had a few questions for him. And he said that he had some gear that I could borrow, which is awesome, because I'm not a welder. I don't have gloves, a hood, I have nothing. So last weekend, he came by and is letting me borrow his, I can't remember the name of it, shit, ESAB A50 helmet, which I've done a little bit of research on, and I have only heard very good things about it. So I need to get a new lens cover for the front and the back. And he said I can use that helmet for as long as I need to. And I appreciate that, buddy. I really do. I know I'm kind of spoiling myself using a welding helmet like that of that high caliber. You know, I'm absolutely going to spoil myself. When I was working at the shop, I was using the owner's speed glass something. It was another fancy one. I'm absolutely spoiled. I've never had to use one of those non-auto darkening Harbor Freight specials, which everyone I know has started out on something similar to that. But I'm just spoiled. I've been so blessed with the people that have been put in my life. I'm just really, really fortunate to know the people that I know and be friends with the people that I'm friends with. So thank you, Lamb Chop, for dropping that stuff off. I cannot wait. He said once I get the electrical figured out that, whoa, school zone, hold on. The school zone sign was flashing. I thought everybody was doing remote learning. Interesting. Guess I better slow down then. So Lamb Chop said once I get the electrical figured out that he'll come over, give me some pointers. He's got some scrap metal for me to practice on. Brady Miller, level 4 concepts, also said that I can raid his scrap bin when I need to, so I appreciate that. Thank you, Brady. And Lamb Chop's gonna help give me a little refresher course. When I was working at the shop for a little while there, I was practicing welding on my lunch break. So I'm sure it's more or less like riding a bike, but to have Lamb Chop there will be very helpful for me to get, like, to nail the basics down, get some of that muscle memory in. He is a certified professional welder. He welds every day for his job. He's not a shade tree welder. It'll be good to learn from someone who knows what the fuck they're actually talking about. Oh, and on the electrical front, like I mentioned earlier, that welder is a 110, so it'll plug into a regular outlet in the garage, but it was told to me by Mr. Foster that I should wire it up to a dedicated circuit and then put like a 20 amp breaker on it. And he said I should be able to get the most out of that machine in that configuration. So I just have to figure out how I'm gonna wire it in. I'm probably going to reach out to a local electrician because I'd like to know how to do it. I'm sure I could hop on YouTube and figure out how to rig it up because from what I've seen, it doesn't seem that hard. I just feel like I want somebody next to me saying, yes, do this, no, don't do that, that sort of thing. So I know how to do it. Like, they can teach me how to do it, and I can actually have hands-on, because I learn the best hands-on. So I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to reach out to one of the local people that I know that know electricity and shit, to help me with that, because I definitely don't want to burn my house down and or zap myself. Because I'm a big sissy when it comes to electricity. I fucking hate tasers. The sound makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I'm not an electricity guy. I'm usually afraid of things that I don't understand, and I don't fucking understand electricity or wiring diagrams, and I just haven't put the time in to learn. So it scares me, man. But I'm sure I'll get it figured out, get that thing wired in, and start practicing. Like I said, no structural welding, no suspension welding, nothing that's going to see huge loads like your mom. Just little stuff, little brackets. Next month when I get paid, I'm going to buy a battery. I have to get a couple ends for the battery terminals because I cut them all off. The way this Jeep was wired when I got it was just like, holy shit. Even I wouldn't have done that. So it was fucking janky. So when I was stripping it down, I just started cutting connectors off because it's like, there, I can't fucking fix this. So I just cut it off. So I have to crimp some battery terminals. Got to change all the fluids. I drained all the fluids when it got back to my house. After that, I'm gonna run some air through the fuel lines and put a little bit of fuel in the tank and then see if we can get her to fire up. I haven't messed with any of the wiring harness itself, so everything's plugged in where it should be. Oh, there's one ground strap on the back of the motor that I have to replace. Shit, I have to write a note on my phone. I gotta text myself about that because I will absolutely forget. But I gotta replace that ground strap, and I'm pretty sure the rest of the wiring, I didn't really mess with any of that engine wiring. So it should be fairly, I don't think that it's gonna be fired up or test fired by the end of August, which was my plan, but it should be the first week of September, hopefully. It's slow progress, but I can't really complain. I'm happy that I have something like that to work on. That makes me happy. So we're still on the way to Haymarket. We're driving through Bealeton right now. They put up a new Sheetz here, which is super awesome. Driving through my old work stomping grounds. So let's talk a little bit about the events front. So Great Smoky Mountain Jeep Invasion was last weekend. Obviously, I did not go to that. I'm trying to lay low for a little while. I have two big events coming up in September and October that I'm really trying to make happen. The first one is an Ultra 4 race in Utah, area BFE. They said they used to race area BFE in the early days of XRRA, I think, or Dirt Riot. No, it was Dirt Riot. Dirt Riot used to race at area BFE. It's a place that I've always wanted to go, that I've always wanted to check out. So I'm trying to make that happen. And the next one is not fully flushed out yet. It is an event in October, and I don't really want to say anything about that one yet, make that one public, because we're still flushing out some of the details, and I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch. But that will also be a work trip. Very excited about that. And I'm very excited to tell you guys about it and to talk about it, but I'm just going to wait a little bit longer because I don't want to say anything and then it fall through or not happen or something like that. And I tell you that just to let you know that I do have things in the works. I have no plans on stopping doing photography or making videos or editing videos. And the last thing that I want to touch on in this kind of overall roundup of what's been going on since the last podcast is that I think I came to a realization that I don't know if I want to do this full time. And when I say this, I mean like 7-slot society, like the brand aspect of it, with this, with taking this new job and now thinking about heavily considering quitting this job and going back into IT for a multitude of reasons that I'll probably get into in a different podcast. But I've just been thinking, I don't know if I want Seven Slot Society to be my full-time thing. I'm starting to think maybe it should just stay the way it is. Maybe I should just put the same amount of hours into it and just keep it the same. Because I have, from the beginning, I've never considered myself an entrepreneur or a business owner or, you know, anything like that. Like, I didn't start this because I wanted to own my own business or I wanted to be my own boss. All this stuff just kind of happened. And I've never, ever said that I'm an entrepreneur or I was born to build businesses or any of that kind of ridiculous shit. That's not me. I don't think that I have that DNA. So I've been starting to wonder, and this gets into like some super meta stuff. Maybe I was built to be a terrific number two. Maybe I was built to be someone's right hand. I feel like I thrive behind the scenes. Like, that's my, I love being behind the scenes. Being in front of a camera and making videos, that's all fun and shit. But, you know, watching the people that are really succeeding at it, really succeeding, building their own brand, building the brand that is themselves, I'm not like, that's not my thing. And that's got me thinking that maybe my position in life is to be in a support role. Maybe I'm supposed to be someone's full-time editor. Maybe I'm supposed to be someone's D-Rock. Maybe I'm supposed to, you know, just be a behind-the-scenes player in someone else's story. But this is where it gets weird, because when I think about working at a company for 40 years, you know, like most of our parents did, and their parents before them, they found a job and they just worked there for 40 years. And they retired and then they did whatever the fuck they wanted. The thought of that, the thought of picking a job and just doing that job for 30, 40 years, it makes me so fucking uncomfortable. Like, I get squeamish just thinking about it. I've been at this job for a year and like a month, and I'm already squirming. So I don't know. I'm in this weird place where I'm trying to figure out, like, I need to balance making enough money to cover bills, but also make sure that I don't put myself in a position where I just fucking blow my brains out. It's this weird, tough position to be in. And I don't know, maybe I just need to think on it a little bit more, but the more I think about being a supporting player in someone else's brand, the more I'm okay with it. And I was thinking, well, that's what I'm doing at my job right now. Nice truck, dude. But the more I'm thinking about it, I went into this job. Whoa, just fucking diesel bros today, isn't it? I took this job and went into this job under the impression that I would be a team player, that I would be part of a team. And it turns out that is not the case whatsoever. So I don't know if it's that realization that's fucking me up. But I have, the honeymoon is over, we'll say, with the position that I'm in now. The work is not hard. The work is very, very easy. It's just, I don't know. And then that's the other thing that kind of speaks to me. Like, it's easy work. And I feel like the money is adequate for the work. But I know that I can do more and do better. But I don't want to do more and do better because I know my salary is not going to change. So I'm stuck in this really shitty position where I know if I put more time into work, which takes away from what I do when I'm not at work, so I have less family time, less time for 7-slot, less time to work on the Jeep for no more amount of money. So I can continue to do what I'm doing. Like, I'm not slacking off of work. I'm doing everything they ask me. I'm the one that's driving to fucking Haymarket at 8 o'clock in the morning from Fredericksburg. Like, I'm doing what's asked of me. I don't complain. I don't give attitude. I do the work. In most cases, I go above and beyond what's requested of me. But I know that even past that, that I could still do more. But then that's where I get into the debacle of, well, do I put more time in this area, take away time from this area, and have no monetary gain? It's a shitty place to be in. I don't like being in a position like this, which is what has led me to realize that I need to make a move. The things that my wife and I talked about when I first took this job was making less money to be more happy. And I took a dive, I took a leap, and I took this job to make less money to hopefully be more happy. And at this point, I'm making less money and I'm not happy. So now I need to make the decision of, am I gonna make more money going back into IT and be unhappy? Because right now, it's like lose-lose. If I go back into IT, it's win-lose, you know? Like, I'll have more money. I could probably get debt-free in a shorter amount of time than I'm trucking at right now. But I don't know. It's right now I'm studying some materials. There's a couple certs that I need to retake if I'm gonna seriously get back into IT. So I'm studying some ITIL stuff. I'm also studying to retake my Security Plus, which is like one of the things that you need to have to get any sort of government IT job. Part of me is really mad that I left that job that I was at before, that I had worked at for 2 years. I had left on good terms. Obviously, I put in my 2 weeks. I'm still really good friends with my boss and team leader at that job. But I almost feel like I wasted this past year. And I know I didn't really. The Trap Queen said that I never would have forgave myself if I didn't do it. So I'm glad I did it. It's just disappointing to realize that this whole past year has not furthered any sort of goals or ambitions. It's definitely helped me get better with certain tools like Photoshop and After Effects and Premiere and Lightroom. I guess that's helped in a way, but I don't know if it was worth the price that I paid. That sounds dramatic, but... good. Stop and go traffic. Perfect. And I have to pee. Fuck. But yeah, this podcast kind of took a little bit of a dark turn. A little less happy turn. That's what happens when I'm stuck alone with my thoughts in a car. And a lapel mic. So, I guess we'll end it here. I really need to start doing weekly. I get to the end of the week and I'm just so exhausted and out of motivation that I just can't even bring myself to do it. I need to fix that. I feel like I've just been telling myself that for the past year. This is podcast episode probably 54, I think, if I remember correctly. And there's podcasts that have been going for a year and they're already at like 60 episodes, which is pretty embarrassing. Been doing this for like 3 years, I think. I don't know. I complain about that a lot, but I'm the only one that can fix that. All right, I'm going to end this podcast. Thank you guys for listening. If you've gotten this far, holy shit, I'm sorry. That was a little depressing. But I hope you'll tune in for the next one. Hopefully we'll have something better to talk about, maybe have someone to talk to so you don't have to hear this ridiculous rambling. But thank you guys so much. I love you deeply. I hope that you have an absolutely fantastic day.